Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Mick Conlon is founder of the Fearless Foundation. It's an organization that seeks to reimagine and restructure charitable giving. Mick is with me in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. We're also joined by Kara DeHaan from Teresa's House and Dawson Muska from Compassion Child Care. Welcome one, welcome all. Mick, how you doing?
I'm doing much better than last week.
We're going to do... You had a little flu last week, I'm told.
Yes.
Yes, so full disclosure, Mick's daughter and my daughter went to school together, so I've sort of known you for a long time, and but this is new for you. So tell me how you started with this idea of the foundation and really changed your own life to start this new venture.
Exactly, yeah. It's a bit of a journey. So I'll go back to 2011-12. I went through a process called The Journey with Vantage Point 3, a local nonprofit ministry. And that changed a question that I'd been asking myself for a long time that was, you know, what am I going to do for the rest of my life, right? What do I want to do? And reframe that to... what does God want me to do with the rest of my life? And so that started a whole nother set of questions for me. I followed that up by going on a mission trip, a service trip with an organization called the Dispatch Project to Jamaica. And I think if your eyes are open during that time, you see something when you're on a trip. And in my particular case, I noticed the missionaries and how the life that they lead is so different than anything I could comprehend as far as working in far-off places for doing work that frankly, I would never have done, even if I got paid what I was getting paid, which was a lot more than what they were living on.
Can you be specific? Like, what did you see? You know, how were they living? Just from a materialistic standpoint, they were living humbly, or from a hardship standpoint?
Well, they just live in places that aren't really comfortable.
Right.
In economies that aren't anywhere near what our economy is. They see lots of things that we don't have to be exposed to every day that break your heart. And they just have a heart for it. They could do a lot of different things. That was kind of, I think, one of the things that, you know, I kind of probably selfishly thought, well, they're doing it because that's, you know, their only option or something. And I was meeting these really intelligent, young, energetic people. The first couple that was running the first location we went to, married, they had... five kids at the time.
Wow.
One of them was near my daughter's age, and she's living on a 10-acre compound in the heart of what I would call the DMZ of Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, I would never do this. My daughter would never do this. My wife would never do that, you know? And yet they, in order to do that, they actually have to have such a heart for it that they're willing to go raise the money.
Right.
On their own. And so they're spending most of their year in country, and then they come back for a short period of time, which they have to pay for themselves. And then they have to spend that time going around and, you know, raising money.
Asking.
Yeah. So that they can do this work.
Right.
So.
And that made an impression on you.
It did. Yeah. It was wrong in my mind, right? So, I mean, I was... surrounded by these kids who, you know, would break most people's hearts, and they did mine as well, but what stuck out to me was the missionaries. And then I came back and I started to see friends who were also running nonprofits, and they were in a similar situation where their mind and their time was dominated by funding their cause, whatever it happened to be.
So what was your background at the time professionally?
Perfect for this. I've been in financial services my whole life. So.
So all the pieces sort of click together. And that goes back to that journey that you took sort of
right.
you know, through I'm sorry, Vantage?
Vantage Point 3.
Vantage Point 3.
Yeah.
Helping you define the special gifts and experiences that
exactly.
you
Exactly. Yeah. Helping you to just kind of see what how God's been interacting in your life the whole time anyway,
right.
and then start to understand what he's already planned for you to do.
Did you have a moment where you thought God wanted me to be in financial services and this is why? I mean, most people
Well, I did
would...
that for 30 years right. almost, yeah.
Right.
I
mean, did it feel like a God-driven thing at the time, though?
For a time, until 2015, when it became very clear that it was time to go do this.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so at the end of 2015, I left my job, left the financial services world, and without a job to jump to.
Right.
But with this call on my heart. So I spent 2016 kind of building this out, and a month ago we launched.
How much of that time is spent convincing your family that it's all going to be okay? Did they just come right aboard?
It's a process of communication, yeah. I think. You know, the day that I felt like it became clear. So for a lot of 2015, it was kind of like, I know where this is going. Mm-hmm. But it's not time yet. And then there was a day in 2015 where it was just like, okay, today's the day. Now I'm asking you to do this. And I had been talking, obviously, with Lisa, my wife, up until then, knowing that it was going in that direction, just not knowing what the timing was going to be. And then... And then on that day, I said, hey, can you meet for lunch? And we went over some stuff, and I'm kind of a planner. So I had actually written a lot of different stuff out, and I went over that with her, and she was like, I'm like, are you okay if I go do this? And she's like, sure.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
But, I mean, you know Lisa, and I mean, the things that concern me, she... is like doesn't really think about those things on a regular basis, which is amazing and a great example for me.
She trusts that the judgment over the years, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So tell me, and we're going to bring our other guests here in a moment too. If you're just joining us, you're listening to In the Moment. My first guest here is Mick Conlon, founder of the Fearless Foundation. Tell me how it works.
So Fearless Foundation is our motto is find, follow, flourish, and what we want to do is bring together a community of organizations in town, nonprofit organizations that are operating here in the area, so that bring them into a central location on the internet, in this case, so that people can find them and then follow their heart is another expression that we use. So they then, once they are find them, they have the ability to follow them. So very similar to following somebody on Facebook or LinkedIn or that kind of thing. You can follow an organization with no obligation from a financial standpoint or anything like that. But just because you feel connection to that organization, you can follow them and get regular updates from them. Without getting what I would say is on a permanent mailing list, like, oh, hey, we got a name. You know,
right.
And we're gonna just bombard this person with information every day, right?
Sure.
So we're gonna curate that so that it's regular updates, but not daily updates and that kind of thing, so that you can just pay attention to what's going on in that organization. And then we hope that by finding the organizations, following your heart and following those organizations that are most important to you, that you will and the community will flourish and these organizations will flourish through financial support as well. So we can facilitate that financial support in a centralized manner with what we call a flexible giving account that's similar to flexible spending accounts for medical expenses. You can set the money aside, plan for your giving, and then allocate that giving out and do so in an anonymous manner, so the money will be coming from Fearless Foundation to the organizations rather than directly from you. Mm-hmm. So again, you're not on a donor list. You're not going to be you know, kind of pursued, if you will, from that standpoint, you can give from your heart.
And the giving part of it makes it very easy, and you know, even a small amount then. And this mm-hmm. this has to do with this mouse can help a lion, which is part of your logo
right.
and part of, explain that to me.
Yeah, so that actually came up, our designers, web developers, we were doing logo development and they came up with that. And I struggled with it at first,
yeah.
Just kind of, but as I thought more about it, the story of the lion and the mouse, where, you know, a lion in this case, so I'll just, you know, kind of associate that with someone who's giving money, thinks that they're the ones that are helping the organization. And they are, but in the end, I think people's lives, giving, the givers' lives are transformed through giving from the heart.
Right.
So it just really started to feel right.
Oh. Yeah. Let's bring in, you brought with you today some of the folks that are sort of connected with Fearless Foundation that you've supported, from Teresa House, Kara DeHaan.
Hello.
Hello, Kara.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And then Dawson Muska from Compassion Child Care. Thanks for being here as well.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So tell me, Kara, a little bit about Teresa's House and the mission that it does. And that's here in Sioux Falls.
You know, actually, Teresa Kashale lives here in Sioux Falls, who started the orphanage. But the orphanage is in Congo.
Okay.
Yeah, the heart of Africa. We have been in existence down there for about 11 years now. We service... about 25 girls live in the home. You know, the best way to understand to Teresa's House is to first understand a little bit about Congo. So they have been in war-torn circumstances for about 20 years. Not much access to education, medical care, a corrupt government, and a general philosophy that children do not have worth. In the capital city of Kinshasa alone, there are over 70,000 street children. So these are kids who don't have a place to call home at night. A lot of this is because of abuse, believing that children are the source of a family's problems. Mm. So if there is a business that is not working, or someone in the home has an illness, maybe a death, the child in the family is often picked out to be the witch or a child sorcerer that is causing this difficulty. These children will either be abused to the point where they choose to leave their home on their own, or the family simply put them onto the streets. So we do not have a lack of children that need to be cared for. And in fact, that's probably one of our biggest visions, is just having more space to take in more kids.
Now, is Teresa from Congo herself?
She was born actually in the capital city of Kinshasa. She came here, I think it was about 95, fleeing from the Rwandan genocide. She was in Burundi at the time and gained asylum and came here with her husband and five children.
So what kind of opportunities, Kara, do you think working with Fearless Foundation has sort of added to, you know, the work that Teresa's House already, you know,
mm-hmm.
the folks, people already have contact with?
I think I am most excited about the fact that we can put more of our efforts and concentrate more of our time on doing well for the kids who are there and need our help. And the burden of raising the finances is going to be shouldered by someone other than ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't have anyone who is full-time staff at Teresa. On the organization on any level. We're a whole group of volunteers with a huge heart for these kids. And knowing that someone else is out there advocating for our agency, saying that we are worthwhile listening to, worth taking the time to pray for and consider giving to, just frees us up to do our work, which is why we're on the board in the first place.
Right, right. Dawson Compassion Child Care.
Yes.
Tell me, that's downtown Sioux Falls.
It is. No, it's right on 2nd and 11th. So the gold Avera building that's got all the panels on it, the gold, yeah, it's shiny, it reflects off the sun. We're right across the street from there. So, yeah, we serve working poor families in the Sioux Falls area. And right now we have 92 kids that we're currently serving. And basically our target demographic are the folks that don't qualify for government assistance. So they make too much to qualify for government assistance, but yet they don't make enough to actually afford the cost of daycare. So quite a few of our families are actually single moms that are just trying to hack a job. They're trying to make it work. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, between not having consistent childcare and just a whole host of other, you know, circumstances, not having support. Sometimes there are, you know, substance issues or, you know, various things like that. They just haven't been able to, you know, they haven't been able to make a go of it. So, yeah.
So who's behind Compassion Childcare as a whole? How did it get started?
Yeah. So basically, we're in the Sioux Falls Ministry Center. We're one of the organizations in the Sioux Falls Ministry Center. There are seven different nonprofits housed under the same building. The Ministry Center itself was launched in 2011. And basically, the team that started the Sioux Falls Ministry Center very much had a heart for an organization like Compassion within that center, within the Ministry Center. And so it was kind of an understood thing that the Ministry Center opened in 2011, and then there was a proactive plan to get an organization like Compassion Childcare off the ground, and we opened in 2012. So we're just about to turn five.
Happy birthday. Right. Do you get to see the results of and the impact that you have on a daily basis then as you sort of... you know, those parents come and pick their kids up and drop them off. You see them change over the years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our goal is we basically have a two-pronged approach when it comes to ministering to our families. On the one side, we really want to help financially. I mean, that's the practical need that our families have when they come to Compassion, is that they can't afford daycare and they just need assistance in that. And so that's the practical function. And we see that immediately because families come in, they're at rock bottom, they don't know where to go. And so when they're able to be in a sustainable place financially, we just see their face go from downcast to optimistic, you know, as soon as they're approved, just right like that. The other approach that we have in bettering, you know, or moving the family forward is that spiritual component. We have classes outside of the daycare for families on a variety of both practical but also spiritual topics. We have a budgeting class along with some other, you know, we have some spiritual formation classes that we also offer for the families. And so the goal is, you know, to kind of patch, to plug the hole financially immediately, but then over the course of, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, really to have a lasting impact on that family as a whole, both spiritually and just, you know, offering different resources like parenting classes and budgeting classes and things.
Mick, how do you make the selections of who's going to be part of Fearless Foundation, and what kind of conversations do you have before you form those partnerships?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a developmental kind of piece right now. The relationships that we've developed so far have been through relationships with other people. So it's just intersections and referrals. You know, I think our web developer introduced me to Teresa's house.
Okay.
Kara's husband, Eric, introduced me to another great organization that's in their corporate care, guy James Swanson.
Yeah.
Just doing great stuff with on-site ministry for businesses and kind of employee assistance type stuff. Dawson and I got introduced through The Journey, through Vantage Point 3. He's participating in that right now, so he's asking himself that question.
So clearly we need Vantage Point 3 on In the Moment as well.
Yeah.
Rob Lone is officially invited.
Yeah, but that's it's been a pretty big impact on my life, certainly.
Right.
And I think just a great organization in town that is, you know, doing things that are really hard to measure. But relationships, introductions, from people that I trust. As far as getting more formal, I think we will develop more formal kind of evaluation, if you will. But I don't ever really want this to be like an application and, sure. You know, just a some kind of a, it needs to be more relational.
When you bring different nonprofits together, there's obviously the opportunity to sort of get to know each other as well. And Dawson, I'm Kara. I'm wondering if you had awareness of each other's nonprofit before, and or how has that sort of changed as you scroll through that website? And Mick, what's the website?
M614.org.
Which refers to?
Matthew 6, 1 through 4.
All right, yeah. Tell me what that verse is, then, because I don't have it in my head. Yeah. I hope you do if you named your website after it.
Yeah, it's Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's his teaching on giving. Right. And so he says, essentially, when you give, give in secret, you know, don't look for the attention is really what it is. So we see ourselves, he talks about not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing, and we see ourselves as that middle part that keeps the left hand and the right hand from knowing what's going on, right? So we can be that conduit. We can pass information, but we're passing that anonymously. Right. So if somebody's giving to Teresa's house, they're giving to Fearless Foundation, we pass that money on in the name of Fearless Foundation, and they don't know who that giver was.
Oh. So, Kara, did you know about Compassion and Child Care and some of the other, as you go through this website, great profiles of the different organizations, mm-hmm. so you can really learn about them all in one easy mm-hmm. format, which is what, like I said, it's been just so interesting to follow it, Mick, from the first ideas to sort of how it's, you know, how it looks online now. It's exciting right. to watch what's in your mind come out.
Yeah.
You know,
That wasn't even what was in my mind. That's what's even better.
Well, a little serendipity there. Yeah. Kara, did you know Dawson before this?
You know, I did. I actually served as a mentor mom at Compassion Child Care before the Lord even pulled my heart toward Teresa's house. We have believed in, prayed for, and supported Compassion Child Care from the very beginning. We think it is an absolutely beautiful ministry, and we're just so pleased to get to tell other people about it because it's doing a huge service in Sioux Falls.
So there isn't a sense, Dawson, of nonprofits competing against each other for a fixed number of dollars. There's
right.
a different sense of generosity and support that I'm hearing from you folks today.
Right, right. Well, I think that's one of the coolest things that Mick's bringing to the table here with the Fearless Foundation is that, and he might be better to speak about this than me, but one of the coolest things about his pitch was basically he did some research and some analytics on giving in the Sioux Falls area. And he basically was saying, like, there's an entire, you know, portion of potential giving that isn't even being tapped right now. And so, you know, from a development person standpoint, and that is my full-time job at Compassion. I am a development person, so fundraising is kind of at the center of what I do. I really do try on a day-to-day basis to have a generous mindset in terms of if I'm meeting with someone and we're just not connecting, you know, that it just doesn't seem like it's the right fit. I want to be referring them to other ministries just because, you know, from my standpoint, if they're not giving from a point of passion, it's just not, it's not worth it in my mind. But Fearless Foundation just makes that even, it just makes it seamless to do that. Just in the sense that, you know, having 15 other organizations, you know, if I'm sitting down with someone and for whatever reason, you know, we're just not lining up and I just don't see it as a potential giving opportunity, I can say like, hey, well, have you heard of, you know, Teresa's house? And I can set you up with Kara and, you know, we can get that going. I mean, if I sense that that's where their passion is ebbing and flowing, it just makes it it's a ready-made community for mm-hmm. me to refer others mm-hmm. to if there just isn't that spark mm-hmm. with me personally. So
and I think there is a sense of awareness because it's a fairly small town, an awareness of other organizations, but I'm going to guess that there are organizations. We got together on the 24th of January to launch our site. And we had all 16 organizations represented in the room, and I can bet that they didn't know everybody.
For sure. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. For sure.
And so that's happening. And then there's, I think, a spirit of community that we want to build as well within the nonprofit groups. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, the reality is that giving has been fairly fixed
right.
for ever, that it's been measured. It's nationally, it's 3% of income. And in this area, it's about 3.6% of income. So a little better than national, but it's fairly fixed. And so that does create a pie that's fairly stable. And instead of thinking about this growing the pie by working together, I think there is somewhat of a mentality of well, I can't do what Dawson was just talking about. I can't expose my potential donor to another organization because, you know, I got to get them given to my organization.
Right. Yeah.
And I hope to change that. I hope to grow the pie from 3.6 to something like 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
You can find Fearless Foundation online, m614.org, and there you can click around and find more about Teresa's House, more about Compassion Childcare, and many others. Mick Collin, come back anytime, and as this sort of unfolds and develops, and let us know how it's going. I've never heard anybody doing this before.
Well, I haven't either.
All right.
We'll bring back some more organizations, and people can learn about them here. I think that would be great.